This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Jurisdiction Subgroup Meeting Number 43 on August 23rd, 2017 at 1900 UTC. You have the agenda in front of you. We have now covered item one. You have been welcomed. Number two is the review of the agenda. Somewhat short agenda, perhaps shorter than might have been expected, but reality has ways of intruding on expectations. After the review of the agenda will be followed by administration. After that, the way forward, progress report, where we stand on implementing our way forward plan, and some discussion of next steps, of course. After that, we'll have AOB, and then adjourn. A note regarding AOB is that given that we have not had a chance to collate and circulate the completed list of issues or proposed issues, the AOB should not be used as a time to try to start that issue discussion prematurely. That is my view in terms of administering the call. So we have now reviewed the agenda, and that moves us to the administration. I will ask if there are any statements of interest updates. Hearing none, do we have anybody who is on the audio bridge only? I don't see anybody noted in the notes, and I don't hear anybody saying they're all audio only. So it appears we have no audio only participant. We do have one phone number only participant, who is 1446.
Sorry, I think that is me, Greg. This is Brian Scarpelli at 517-507-1446.
Yes. Yes, you are in both under your name and your phone number, probably because you dialed in rather than letting the Adobe Connect dial out to you.
Yes. I'll switch to computer audio. Sorry about that.
You can be both if you'd like, whatever works best in terms of your ability to participate.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I think that covers the administration. Jeff Newman asks, am I the only one who hears a very high pitch noise, I presume? Bernie says, no, I have it also. I'm not hearing it. I don't know if it's coming from me. There's some I was very briefly muted. I don't know if that made any difference. Okay, well, it appears not to be significant or findable. So let us put up the way forward slide. Bazana says this background noise is quite disturbing. It's scratching my soul. You should know that as you age, your ability to hear high pitch noises degrades. So you should be happy that it's very disturbing, I suppose. Paradoxically. In any case, we'll briefly review the revised path forward. This is really no different than the one that was reviewed and adopted at the last meeting. To hit the highlights, we have the 11th October deadline to get a draft report together from all of our pieces and get it to the plenary for first reading. About 7 weeks from today. In order to get things done in the time we have left, although we have a lot of input, we'll need to select a relative handful of issues, likely 2 to 4, which the group agrees are issues that are within our remit, and that will result in recommendations that achieve consensus in the subgroup. So obviously there's a challenge here that we'll have to compromise to finalize this limited number of issues over the next few weeks. Apologies for speeding up in speech. And we'll need to work diligently both in our meetings and on the list to get this done. Participants have been presenting their issues on the list, as everyone has seen, with proposed solutions. I think we have priorities from most who have submitted more than one, but we'll check that as we go. We had asked that statements be posted by the end of the day UTC on Friday, I mean on Monday rather, for discussion today. Bernie and I rather optimistically thought that we could collate everything into a digestible format over the course of yesterday, and plus taking into account anything that came in before Monday. That was optimistic, to say the least. We are working on it, and hope to have it done in relatively short order, certainly well in advance of the next meeting. To go over briefly the requests with regard to those submissions, and this is apropos because given where we stand in terms of getting the sheet together, and also given that I have said repeatedly that if there is ever a hard deadline for the submission of proposed issues, I would state it explicitly. Given where we stand vis-a-vis our deadline for getting the product out in time for it to be done within the life cycle of Workstream 2, I think it is appropriate to finally state the that there is a hard deadline for submitting issues. Hopefully everyone's issues have been well thought through in the last 43 meetings. But in any case, the hard deadline will be 2359 UTC on Sunday upcoming, which is the 27th. So that will close the door on issues at that time. So we'll keep the door open for a little bit longer in the spirit of inclusiveness. So just to go over again, the request was if you do present more than one issue, please prioritize them. That issue should be very specific, avoiding open-ended abstract or omnibus issues, and that your proposed issue statement should include one or more proposed solutions, that they should be synced with no more than 12 lines devoted to each of the issue statements and the solution. I suppose if you had multiple solutions, you could use more than 12 lines for each. But the idea is to try to make these digestible and also have a format that's somewhat standard so that we could put them into a tool, a spreadsheet, data, or whatever similar item so that they can be reorganized. I see a note from Bernie. All we will need about 45 seconds to restart the audio to see if it clears the noise. So I'll give you 45 seconds of silence. and
hi, this is Brenda. I've restarted the audio, so I hope that clears it up.
Thank you, Brenda.
So far, so good, Brenda.
We seem to be clear.
All right, back over to you.
Okay, thank you. David McCauley, can you hear now? David? David, can you hear? Maybe David was the high-pitched noise. David is going to redial, so let us continue, though. Yeah, so phone connections were dropped, so if you use a phone connection, you have to reconnect. The software gave me a chance to get a dial-up, so here I am. So I had last been talking at some length about how we needed to be succinct. Next, we asked that you send the issue to the email list, or if you prefer to put it on the existing Google Sheet. I think there were a couple on the sheet, but most were submitted by email. We also asked that the email be new, not a reply, because it's very hard. It'd be very hard to find new issues embedded in long threads. We need to make sure that we can see people's submissions. Tiago, I'll get to your point in just a second. Just a couple of bullet points left. Last, if you do use the Google Sheet as your method, notify the email list that you've added to the sheet, just so people will know to look. Bernie and I will be monitoring the Google Sheet, but other people may not be quite so adapted at doing that or care to spend so much time doing it. Lastly, if you see another issue, if another participant proposes an issue you want to propose, putting in your support for that, plus one, whatever it is, the usual rule of thumb, not a hard line rule, that a bunch of plus one-ing isn't all that helpful, I think is sort of suspended in this case. So it gives us some chance to gauge support, but obviously that's not intended to be any kind of formal support issue. We'll deal with that more expressly. So Tiago has raised an issue with regard to the plan. I'll read it out. Greg, as to the number of issues that will eventually feature in any final report, I'd just like to note that I understand that 2 to 4 issues is not a hard line limit and that it may go above that number depending on our ability. It's probably worth a little bit of discussion in the group to see if we can clarify that. I would say that I put likely 2 to 4 in there, being a little bit of a soft line limit, if you will. Wouldn't want to have a fifth issue that was virtually as important as issues 1 through 4 being excluded on a sheer numerosity basis. but the idea that we would get to 8 or 10 issues and be able to do justice to them is probably highly unlikely. So that's the concern, is I think that you can look at that as an order of magnitude, if you will, rather than a hardline basis, so that we can have enough time to focus on the issues and do them each a sufficient amount of justice, and also to focus on gaining consensus within the group on those issues and on the recommendation. Tiago, I don't know if that answers your question. Tiago says, I understand the importance of being focused, but let's see how it goes. Now, instead of discussing that, let's consider the proposal. I think we should try to spend a minimum of time on process, if we can, and more on substance. David Napoli also notes prioritization is important in listing issues, in my opinion. Robin Gross agrees. So we should look at prioritization so that it's not only the issues that we are most likely to be able to give recommendations on, but also the issues that the group believes are most important among those that are within our remit and are recognized as, in fact, being issues, so that we can try to get focused. Tiago says, I think we are on the same page. The extent likely allows for flexibility, and I think it does allow for necessary flexibility. I don't see us having a plethora of issues, however many a plethora is. So to get to the meat of how we should proceed, Bernie and I will be putting together a chart. We will probably circulate back to the list, just a checklist, if you will, of the ones that we have already have seen, so that we can make sure that we don't lose anybody's issue. Things were submitted in a variety of formats. Then the idea is that we should move, I think, toward some decisions on these issues through the meetings and the use of whatever tools are available to us as a working group. I think in the early going and in reading the list, and I hope everyone has read the list, which has been very active the last few days, there are some proposed issues that have been raised that are, I think, somewhat complex, and I think there's still quite a fair amount of discussion about whether they are in fact issues and whether they're issues for this group to discuss. Just a note that just because something is not an issue within this group's remit does not mean it's not an issue at all. I think that goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. A couple of issues have kind of percolated, I think, to the top as being broadly supported and without any kind of pushback, if you will, on that. So I think it makes sense to start with those issues just in terms of discussion, because we don't it will kind of be able to jump into those without as much discussion around the issue. So I would, the two that I see as kind of falling into that category, almost the consent agenda, if you will, are the OFAC issues, and I recognize there's more than one issue grouped under OFAC and sanction, and also the issue of the absence of applicable law provisions in ICANN contracts. So what I'd like to do is to open the floor first to see if the group supports going forward with these two issues first, and then, you know, moving to the other issues as we get the spreadsheet out and we get more organized in advance of our next meeting. So I'd like to see if there is any, if there's support for that. If you do support this as a starting place, because somebody has to, some issues have to go first, whatever they are, please give me a, or please put a green check in the Adobe Connect. And if you object to starting in that place, a red X, I see a number of green checks. I see a hand from Tiago. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. This is Tiago speaking. I'm sorry, I'm in a place where you're probably listening to lots of noise in the background. My question is, what does that really mean if we decide to prioritize and consider those two issues in the first place? And I'll explain. Does that mean that, for example, in the mailing list, we're only going to focus in discussions related to those two issues, as well as the discussions that will take place during the weekly meetings? If that's the case, I think it's not perhaps a good idea. Instead, I would suggest that we have different groups that take care of those different issues and then come up with proposals in some sort of almost final stage, and then put those proposals to be discussed by the group in the list and during the course. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiago. I think there are kind of two questions, or there's a question and then a subsidiary question, which is just starting with these two issues mean we're only going to focus on these two issues, as well as the discussions that will take place during the weekly meeting. I don't think it means that, or I should say it doesn't mean that. This is a way of getting a couple of horses out of the gate quickly while we get the rest ready for the race. We will look at the issues that have been proposed. We'll try to get those issues out and then prioritize and hopefully discuss those in a kind of a priority order if we can. And I hope that you know, we'll continue to develop the current discussions that have been going on the list, should continue on, although and they may need a little bit of moderating, but you know, we will discuss them. We can't necessarily discuss every issue in complete detail, but I think we will do our level best to at least survey what has been put forward and make our decisions based on that survey. Given that we are going to take that broader approach, I took your suggestion on subgroups as only being the case if we were kind of trying to proceed in a very narrow way. Personally, I don't think we have the time to work in subgroups, and I think that there is, among those who are interested, there's, I think, interest in discussing the issues that have been put forth so far and any issues that come forward at the end. So what I'd like to do, and it's to basically open the floor to a discussion of the OFRAC issues and try to start to focus them a bit more. I'll give an example, and we can start with this if you want, but with regard to the idea of a general license for ICANN, one idea being, you know, that's been put forward, of course, has been that ICANN apply for a general license in order to avoid the individual specific licensing process for each transaction. In terms of focus, they're actually quite specific. They need to state a particular class of persons and a particular type of transaction. So as we move forward, we need to talk about the general license in the context of specific classes of persons, types of persons, and types of transactions. So with that, I will stop talking and open the floor for discussion of that issue or any other of the issues raised under OFAC, with the idea that we're trying to mold these into issues that can go into our report with recommendations that can go into the report with them. The floor is open. I would open up now. So OFAC is one issue. I think for the purpose of kind of controlling the number of issues that we're trying to deal with simultaneously to get something done, I would consider OFAC one issue with sub-issues. I don't want to play, numbers games and say, well, OFAC is five issues and therefore we're done. We're only doing OFAC. So that's my view. I think that's the fair way to look at it. And the OFAC issues in many ways are related, and I think we have to, there's a common base of knowledge and issues that is kind of a core of all the OFAC issues. And then it goes from there as to specific problems and solutions. So, any comments on OFAC issues in particular? I would be curious for those who have mentioned the general license to know what types of or classes of persons and types of transactions specifically they think a general license would cover. I assume it's not ICANN buying toilet paper from Sudan, so it's got to be something more specific and more substantial. Milton, please go ahead.
Yes, I think it's good that you're asking us to be specific about the transactions. So I would think that a registrar accreditation agreement for, anyone not specifically named as a criminal, we would want that on the list. We would want root server Anycast instances to be on the list. We would want registry agreements to be on the list, again, with specific bad persons exempted. And that's all I can think of at the moment, but those three things.
Thank you, Milton. A follow-up question on those, just to try to get the specifics a little more specific. So for registrar accreditation agreements, it would be the type of person or class of person would be registrars and those seeking to enter into a contract to be a registrar, and the type of transaction would be the registrar accreditation agreement. That's a fairly straightforward one. I hope that's accurate. The next, maybe to explain a little bit better, are root server Anycast instances, to get a sense of the type of persons and transaction that signifies. Well, Milton, if you could.
Yes, so the ICANN would be, well, any root server operator would be one of the potential transaction parties. And there would be some kind of a party in the country that was sanctioned that would be running the root server instance, so there'd be some kind of local host, in effect. And I'm not sure if anybody else would be involved. But just to give you an example, I know, for example, that ICANN has been prevented from introducing an instance of the L root in Sudan and Iran, whereas I think RIPE have not. So that would be an example where we have some patchy application of the sanctions. But of course, RIPE is not based in the U.S., so that's an example.
Thank you, Milton. That's helpful. And on the last instance, I think is with registry agreements, if I'm registry. It was registry agreements, if I'm correct. So I guess they're straightforward. Would the existing or registries or applicants, say, in the new GTLD, to be our registries, and this would include, I assume, I'll raise this specifically, would it include CCTLD registries, and would these be able to be covered? I think we need to think about whether these could be covered by a single general license, but think about both CCTLD and GTLD registries. Want to see if that makes sense with regard to discussing licenses around general agreements. Any comments on that? I'll assume I didn't say anything too silly. Bernie, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. As a recovering CCPLD and someone who operate a lot of the rules for the CCNSO, I can say that definitely some of CPLDs which are covered by OFAC rules require specific licenses currently for any root zone changes or any admin changes within ICANN. So definitely if we're considering it for any kind of GTLD, that would also mean it could make INF5 or PTI now easier with respect to CCTLDs that are covered by these countries.
Thank you, Bernie. That's very helpful. Milton notes we have some acronym scrambles, perhaps, in the captioning. I'm sure we'll be able to clean those up. LGBTQ plus, I think, is known, but not a subject of our discussion. And PCPLD sounds like something having to do with the horse tranquilizer, but in any case, I see Farzana has her hand up. Please go ahead, Farzana.
Thanks, Greg. Bernie's point takes me to Jeff's question, which is, I think, is quite important. We should know which ICANN transactions are actually subject to OFAC and for which transactions ICANN is obliged to seek an OFAC license. If that could be, if we can find that out, then that would be great. I don't think that we specifically asked this question from ICANN Legal, but if it was answered, then I think we should look them up.
Thank you, Farzana. I think that's a very good point, and I think if staff could note that as an action item, to ask ICANN staff or ICANN Legal, wherever that should be asked, for the specific list or if there's any confidentiality concerns around that or whatever, we can know in the greatest particularity possible. Because clearly it doesn't make sense to talk about getting licenses for classes of transactions that are not, in fact, covered transactions. And I think more broadly, and it's not too early, given where we are, to think about what the structure of a recommendation would be. General licenses are a fairly complex topic. So it may be that our recommendation would be more in the nature of recommending that ICANN study the issue and do a cost analysis to look into more particularly what it would take to get one or more general licenses for ICANN and be able to report back to the community on the cost and the time and the method for identifying and implementing this recommendation. I think there's definitely an implementation aspect to it, so that even if we think as a high-level matter that a general license seems like the right idea, that we can try to put forward something that gets the ball rolling on that. A couple of comments I see in the chat. Eric says CCTLDs should be covered by the proposed general license of OFAC. Here again, I think I've done some research into this, and in spite of the title general license, you have to actually be quite specific with regard to the type of transaction and the class of person. So I realize we'll talk to some extent in shorthand. But if you're saying CCTLDs, I assume we're talking about what are we talking about in terms of the CCTLD and their contact with ICANN, especially given that most CCTLDs don't have a contract with ICANN. But transactions are not necessarily contracts. There are other transactions. So I think we need to identify the specific classes of transactions, whether it's root zone changes. That was one specific one that was mentioned. Similarly, Tiago comments, we could use a wording that recommends a license for the class of transactions that are related to the management of the DNS. Based on my research, that would be far too broad and vague to be acceptable as a transaction. They're really looking for types of transactions, so something more along the nature of a root zone change or a registrar accreditation agreement, or the like. It's something that's going to need to be focused. And we can look exactly, as we develop this over the next very few weeks, we can go back to primary and secondary sources to get a good definition of covered transaction or class of transaction. I see Wale Bakare, I apologize if I don't pronounce that correctly, saying transactions are binded agreements between ICANN customers and ICANN. These include SLAs. I guess I'd be interested to know if SLAs are included, although I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but we would need to explore that. Steve Del Bianco says also certification of an accredited privacy proxy provider. That's a very important point as the PPSAI working group work becomes implemented. That'll be another class of another type of transaction and a class of person would be those providers and their contracts with ICANN. Tiago says, if we can't get into that much detail, we could recommend that studies be undertaken by ICANN to identify the class of transactions that should then be covered by the general license and and we would now be recommending ICANN-PACI from OFAC. And Raphael Beauregard-Lacroix says, yes, it might be better that way. It makes it less technically complex to draft a recommendation. So I think while it would be good for us to be specific, we probably we should not be exclusive, especially since, as Farzana notes, we don't know all the transactions that have been subject to OFAC-specific licenses in order for them to occur. And so we can give examples of the nature of the types of transactions and classes of persons that, that have been brought up and say, you know, include those without limitation. ICANN takes a study of how to proceed with a general license. Bernie, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Just going to relate some of the guidelines we've talked about in other groups with respect to recommendations. And I think that would be useful in this context if the group agrees. The idea generally is that we should just be looking at what are the outcomes we're looking for and less trying to be very specific about how to implement it. Every time we get into detail of implementation, we are, A, causing more work for ourselves, B, sometimes doing that work without the full context. So really, if I like the idea of Thiago and Wally and, you know, and Raphael, let's describe what we're trying, what we're looking for. What's our objective? And, you know, let's be clear. I mean, if this thing makes it through the entire process and is approved, ICANN is going to be bound to look into this and say what it can't and can't do. Now, the other thing is that this is potentially not a small project, and that could mean significant expenditures. So let's also try and keep that in mind, that those kinds of significant expenditure commitments can't come from a group like this. So we may want to consider that in making our recommendation, so that, you know, it's fine to ask ICANN to study this and come back with some concrete facts and estimates, and then the community can decide that. But if you go into a recommendation that says, ICANN shall do this, you may be setting yourself up to come into conflict with priorities in the corporation that are being set by the community itself. So I'm just trying to help you understand the context of where this gets positioned and how it gets looked at after it leaves here. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. I think that's a series of very good points. The first I would summarize as saying that we're in the business of making policy recommendations and not implementation recommendations. And not really policy either in the certain senses of the word policy, but implementation recommendations are definitely not our business. We can't, getting into the weeds is just going to be useless. So I think keeping things at a high level, I think, you know, as Thiago's classification might not be one that you would send to put into an into the process for a general license, but it does, I think, broadly define what it is we're trying to do. In my mind, which is to encourage ICANN to explore getting one or more general licenses in place that would cover the transactions that take place due to ICANN's role in the DNS, such that no transaction, ideally, is blocked because of OFAC sanctions or any other sanction regime. Footnote, I think that if, in fact, a person is rejected or comes under into a more specific class of person that can't be allowed, that can't happen. But I thank Tiago for that and realize that, you know, this is a case where we do need to look at the forest, and I think that's what Bernie is saying as well. I give you credit indeed, Tiago. And I think that also fits in with what Farzana has said in the chat as well, that ICANN's priority should be to facilitate access to the DNS, as it says in bylaws, and our recommendation. I don't understand why we can't make recommendations which ask ICANN to do certain things. So I think we can certainly ask ICANN to look into them, whether we can't. The issue is what we – that a recommendation that actually goes all the way that says they have to do it may end up in friction. So we need to think about the process that will result from a recommendation we make. At the least, I think we need to know that we're kind of flipping a switch on a process that has a switch that has not been flipped. Farzana, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. I just wanted to make sure that our recommendations don't fall again on deaf ears, because this is an issue that has not been addressed, especially the sanctions issue has not been answered for the past 19 years. I think that's the ICANN inception. I think it's 19 years that you can correct me if I'm wrong. So I think I agree that there should be a process, but I think it should be framed in a way that that, you know, ICANN look into these issues, and they are important, and there should be some solutions and implementation. Thanks.
Thank you, Farzi. I would tend to agree with that. I don't mean to imply that by falling short of a recommendation that ICANN must do something, that our recommendation should be wishy-washy. I think that, indeed, if our recommendation isn't overly doesn't assume too many steps taken, that our recommendation can actually be stronger. That this about what steps should be taken. That would be my view. I also note, I was thinking what Steve wrote in the chat. Transitional bylaws describe how CCWG recommendations are to be considered by the board and management. In terms of getting focus on this in a way that perhaps hasn't occurred adequately in the last 19 years, this is a tool for that. So I think we should maybe start drafting a recommendation as well as firming up our statement of the issues. On this first point, if we could start that on the list, that would be great. We could even move forward in next week's meeting if it's ready to try to tune that for a bit. So we need to move to having something that's going to be our document. So. I would say that we have kind of a shape around this, the general license issue. Just to note, the general licenses are actually U.S. regulations. They become part of the stated regulations around OFAC, so it's not just a simple application process. It gets into the regulatory soup, but that doesn't prevent us from making recommendations. Any other concepts around OFAC? I recommend we have about 10 minutes left. That's the general license is one OFAC issue or one solution to a type of OFAC issue. And so I'd like to, I see a question from Wally Becker. Who are these individuals needing OFAC licenses? Well, I think with regard to the, we are going to ask ICANN for what has happened, but what we're looking here for in a general license is for classes of individuals, not individual individuals, but classes of individuals or entities that would need these licenses. And in terms of why the license is needed, just roughly speaking, this is a sanctions, U.S. sanctions program that are aimed at certain countries and certain individuals as well, and that a license is needed in order for a U.S. entity to engage in transactions with them and certain non-U.S. entities as well, without trying to unpack that any further. Steve Del Bianco asked, can we think of OFAC as a priority instance of instead of addressing as sanctions in general? I have to say, and it's a question for the group, obviously not for me, but I'll say first that 99% of our discussions about sanctions have been about OFAC, because that's the one that's clear and present. It may be that ICANN is or will become subject to other sanctions in the future. But right now, ICANN is, OFAC is the one that actually needs to get dealt with and has been dealt with. So I would say that in reality, we are dealing with OFAC, and we should not be so abstract as to only talk about sanctions as a global issue. Tiago also mentioned other entities that have contractual relationships with ICANN and fear that they cannot transact with OFAC-sanctioned countries out of fear that they will suffer sanctions. I think we'd need to unpack that with more particularity to try to understand who those entities are or those classes of entities and types of transactions. Personally, I'm not aware of that instance, or if that is occurring, how to bring that out. That's a more nuanced issue, although, again, if we give a high enough level recommendation about ICANN essentially doing the necessary to neutralize OFAC and it's in the business of being ICANN, everything after that kind of becomes implementation. Bernie, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. On this specific point, yes, I see Farzana has put it in. I've heard it with respect to registrars. So registrars who are not covered by not from OFAC-covered jurisdictions sometimes feel that they should not be selling names to people or persons who are in those covered jurisdictions. Now, what's important to remember is that ICANN cannot enforce anything on that. This is a business decision of an independent business. They have to understand by themselves their own risk profile versus OFAC, and they have to make their own decisions independently. If ICANN was involved in any way in this, it could mean that they were party to that company's decision to do or not do something. And I don't think that's something that any of us would want to think about. So let's just be very clear on that. There is a limit as to how far down the tree ICANN can go on this. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. I think two quick points on that, and I agree with everything you said. One, I believe, but we would need to confirm that even when applying for a general license, the applicant, if you will, although it's not an application process, needs to be a party to the transaction. So I don't think ICANN would be in a position to to, in essence, seek a license on behalf of all registrars, or a class of registrars. So I think that probably constrains that. Second, I know we've seen instances of terms and conditions that have stated, have raised OFAC issues, even though the registrars were non-U.S., but also know that those registrars used a time zone for Mumbai, India, even though they were located nowhere near Mumbai, India. So I'm thinking that's more a cutting and pasting issue than it is an actual issue from those. But I'd like to know if there are factual instances where non-U.S. registrars have refused to engage in a transaction that they, because of a belief in OFAC. I'm not dismissing the existence of it. I'm only saying that the terms and conditions that have been brought up are weak in terms of proof of that. But again, that may not be an issue within our remit. And in terms of focusing, I don't know what we can do about it. That does not mean it's not an issue. It's just not our issue. In any event, I think we need to know more about that, but I think it would actually be probably worse for ICANN to start trying to, you know, become a third man in, if you will, on those types of transactions for a variety of reasons that have been cited in the chat. In any event, Tiago says, I'd like to point to the fact that we are not should be limited to addressing what has happened, but also risks that are plausible. I think that that is true. I guess we need to consider how plausible this risk is, if it hasn't actually happened. And that is part of what we need to do as we look at this, what we're doing. In any case, we're at 2 minutes to the hour. I think this has been fruitful. I think that for next week, we can continue this discussion, try to advance it on the list during the week. We can also go into the choice of law provision or lack thereof in ICANN contracts and recommendations around that. With that, I think I'll turn briefly to AOB. And see if we have any AOB. Given that we are now at 3:59 and I see no one raising AOB, I think we'll continue along the lines that we have taken here. And I think a lot has good has been said. Tiago, please go ahead at 3:59.
Sorry, Greg. I'll just ask you to read what I wrote in the chat. Your voice is so good, so I'll defer it to you. Thank you.
You flatter me, but just for the record, Tiago says, I'd like to point to the fact that we are not should be limited to addressing what has been happening, but also risks that are plausible. That's why recommendations may be general in some respects. We cannot go into listing things that have not happened. And the positive side of a recommendation that points to a general direction, as Bernie said, is that it allows for the flexibility of the board to tackle issues that may arise later. So that points to a general direction. Sorry if I was a little too fast for the captioner. But in any case, please... it's now time to go. Let us keep up the good and structured work. Please send the issues to the list if you haven't already done so. Bernie and I will be beavering away to make sure that we have things ready for the next call. And with that, I will call this meeting adjourned. Thank you and goodbye.